Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest of the show, please send me an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group, you can visit our website at friendsofkevin.com. So you got my longtime friend Jack Wayne with us from Longhorn Financial. As always, please remember Jack's joining the show for informational purposes. It should not be construed as financial advice. As always, think a qualified financial person before you make any decisions in your life. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin. It's a great day. Great day to be on the show with you.
So, Jack, last night I'm driving home, 6:30, 7 o'clock. I drive by my CPA's office and his car's in the lot. I was like, what's he doing in work? And my wife, Charlotte, said, well, don't forget, it's still tax season because of the extension. I'm like, oh. So there's still a chance for some people to make some decisions in regards to tax financially, right?
Yeah, I mean, this year, as a result of the coronavirus and some legislation that Congress has passed, particularly the CARES Act, tax day was extended, right? But it's coming up now. It's going to be July 15th. My understanding is that it's not going to be extended any further, is what I've seen in the news. So people really, it is kind of down to that wire again. So people can still reduce their tax bill a little bit. If they qualify, they can make IRA contributions, right, deductible, traditional IRA contributions. Or if they're self-employed, set up a self-employed kind of a retirement plan for their own business. So they do have some time to do that. It's not a ton of time because the deadline is coming up, but they still can do that.
So, Jack, let's just jump in right into next year then. One of the challenges I see, especially in times like we've had, is some people really are going to have different income, maybe in some cases much higher, some cases maybe lower. So you have to kind of think that out and plan. You know, I've had people, you know, told me, hey, in the last couple of months, I really haven't made any money. Is that where tax planning comes in, thinking about what your projections will be and how we can minimize that tax impact?
Yeah, there's really a couple of elements going on. So number one, right, you ask people, oh, do you have a tax person, whatever, and every, you know, and a lot of people I work with, they say, oh, yeah, I got a guy, right, or I have a person. And if you really kind of dig into it, the majority of the time people use a tax preparer, right? So like H&R Block is all about this, or TurboTax software, right? It's preparation of your taxes. But if you really think about what that means, right, filling out your tax form only means telling the government what has already happened, right, what happened last year. So you can't go back and undo it. You can't tell your boss, oh, by the way, please don't pay me for something, right? So it's already happened. So tax preparation, even though taxes are complicated, you know, tax preparation are really kind of simple because it's just putting on what happened onto a form. Tax planning, on the other hand, is a totally different ballgame. And so this is really about talking to your tax person before something happens, before you sell the house, before you sell the stock, before you take your money out of the 401k, all, you know, or whatever, right? And really kind of understanding how that is, and really preparation and planning is really kind of like doing a mini tax return, but throughout the year, so you can always see what happens if you do this, if you do that. And so, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily like that, but the reality is that people can really save a ton of taxes, right, that would allow them to do versus, oh, you know what, I got to do this anyway, I'll just do it, and you know, my tax guy is just going to put on the 1040 next year, right? Because, again, once it's already happened, you don't have a chance to go back. So far fewer people actually think about the planning aspect, which, like I said, can make a giant difference for people.
Yeah, it's so true, Jack. I see this where, you know, it'd be around tax time, and I'm talking to a friend, and they're like, oh, pray for me today, brother. I'm going to get my taxes done. And they have no idea
yeah, exactly.
if they're going to get a refund, owe $1 million, And I'm like, all right, you have to have a better relationship with your tax person. Like you said, there's a big difference between paying someone to prepare your taxes and paying someone to talk strategy with you. Because I see this, you know, well, I needed a couple extra bucks, so I sold a stock, took some money out of my 401k, whatever you did. But I'm like, all right, did you plan for the tax implications of that? I just worry about it at tax time. Yeah, but you might get surprised and find out you have a tax liability when you thought you were getting a refund because you didn't think out your strategy. So it shouldn't just be a one-time a year meeting with your tax preparer. It should be a strategy session, correct?
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, I understand that people, you know, associate taxes with like root canals, right? Like you never want to hear those words, and you don't want to think about taxes except when you have to. And I totally get that. And so really the point here is that not that taxes should be the only thing as to why you do or don't do something, but it should be a part of it. So instead of thinking about taxes only once a year, it should be really a conversation you have throughout the year. And, you know, and so the other thing I get from people as well, like, well, I don't want to pay my tax guy any more than I have to, right? Every time, you know, perhaps you maybe pay them hourly or something. And so if I have to go back to my CPA and ask for, you know, tax advice in September, you know, that's going to cost me an extra, you know, however much they charge you, right? Yeah, I mean, that might be true. You know, a lot of preparers, you know, a lot of planners, I think, tend to sell packages. But, yeah, you might have to pay your guy an extra hour. But if it can save you a couple grand in taxes or avoid a penalty or whatever, you know, that's worth it, right? So, so you know, make sure that you know, kind of can see the forest for the trees here. So, but I get it, root canal, taxes, not any fun. It really should be a year-round thing.
But, Jack, as you mentioned earlier, you have to think about the difference in tax treatment. You know, I always say, you know, when I was younger, you know, it's like, okay, you know, invest, put money in your IRAs, max out your 401k, you know, put all this money in there. And that may have made sense at the time, but now as I start to get closer to retirement and I consider the fact when I withdraw that money, it's all going to be taxable plus the interest that's earned, looking at that saying, you know, I probably could have done a better job tax planning. At the time, I just cared about then. Like, okay, I can lower my tax rate today, but no one knows what tax rates will be, you know, next year, never mind 10 years from now. You got to kind of think that out before you just randomly invest, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, one of the last-minute moves that people can make to lower their taxes this year is to make, like, a traditional IRA contribution if they're eligible. But in the grand scheme of things, when you start thinking about retirement in your future, right, like you said, different types of money get treated differently in the tax code. So if you withdraw money out of a regular IRA, the whole thing is taxed at whatever the rate you're going to be in the future, maybe higher, maybe lower, we don't know. So what that means is depending on your circumstances, right, it might be worth saving differently today, even though you might end up having to pay a little bit more in taxes today in exchange for maybe not paying taxes in the future, right? So now you think back to that, okay, great. You know, I got like a little bit over a week left. I can run to my investment firm, put in the check for my, you know, 2019 IRA contribution and take that deduction on my taxes. Well, that might not be the best move, right? So everybody's a little bit different, but really comes down to how different things, different sources of income are treated for tax purposes.
Yeah, like I said, that's the challenge is, you know, we didn't think of that when we were younger. We always just made this assumption we would have less income in our retirement. You know, I mean, that was typical what people said to you, like, well, you won't be working, so it's only natural you're going to have less income. But if you start withdrawing money for various purposes out of all these retirement accounts, all of a sudden you might be surprised thinking, oh, you have this number, but after taxes, it's, you know, some sort of percentage of that. And I've seen people, you know, they hey, you know what, I have all the money I need to retire, Jack. You know, I did the math. You know, I have that $1 million, whatever it is, and they divide it out over how long they think they're going to live. I'm like, you forgot about taxes. So now
right.
you can't live as long, Jack.
Right.
But
nope.
it's a common mistake. I know, at least for me, I see it all the time. I'm sure you do in what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, I kind of laugh every time I see those articles that come out. You know, typically they come out once a year, and they'll say something like, you know, major investment firm starts with the letter F, based here in Boston. You know, they announce that there's all these, you know, new accounts that have over $1 million in their 401k or $1 million in the IRA. You know, and that's a great achievement, right? Like, if you've been able to save that much money over your lifetime and have it grow, I mean, that is still a lot of money. So not to take anything away from that, right? But at the same time, if you have $1 million, right, on your statement for your 401k or IRA, I would also tell you that you really don't have $1 million, right, because of the taxes. So your $1 million in your 401k is probably only, you know, $600,000 to $700,000 maybe, right, after tax, right? Because you have the silent partner known as the IRS who will, you know, the better you do, the more they take, right? And so they're more than happy to have you make all sorts of money in your IRA, because as you make more, they make more. So every time those articles come out, I just kind of laugh like, hey, but I hope these people really realize that they really don't have $1 million, even though they've done a great job saving.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's where it's important to have that relationship with your financial person, with your tax person, to talk about diversification. Maybe it makes sense to have some money in a couple of different buckets, so no matter what happens, if you guess wrong and your tax rate's going to be higher than you anticipated, you're covered. And if it's less, you're still covered. So diversification ends up being the key at the end of this.
Yeah, so many people, when it comes to these things, so many people think about diversification, right? Don't have all your eggs in one basket. But people think about, well, should I buy some stocks? Should I buy some bonds? Should I buy some overseas companies? Should I buy, should I have some in cash? I mean, all this kind of stuff. And that's really called asset diversification. But what I'm really talking about is known as tax diversification, right? And so I'm not talking about which stock you should buy or which mutual fund you should sell. It's, do you have money that's taxable? Do you have money that's tax deferred, like 401ks and IRAs? And then do you have money that's tax free, like Roths, permanent life insurance, reverse mortgages, and things like that. And so people don't really think about that. And I see that all the time because all along people have been only thinking about, hey, well, the rule of thumb is I should save as much possible in my 401k, right? So I did that. And I am one of those people that, you know, got over $1 million, right? Did the right thing. It's like, you did do a great job saving, but did you know about this? And when people, you know, realize that, you should just see the shock in their faces, because it's not pretty.
So, Jack, we have about a minute left. Why don't we grab your contact information before we let you run, my friend?
Sure. People can reach me via email at jack@longhornfin.com, or they can visit my website at longhornfin.com.
Jack, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to call into the show. And as always, thanks for being my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on. I always appreciate it.
Have a great day, my friend. Bye now.